Jesus said in Mark 12:31 about the great commandment, listen carefully. He said, there is no other commandment greater than these, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday, and welcome to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill is currently teaching a study from the New Testament epistle of Galatians, and today he concludes the message, Love, Not Law. Let's listen in.
Hey, Christian. When you teach something, it better be the Word of God. Amen? Not legalism. You know, you're not supposed to wear that makeup. You better take it off. Where does that come from? Don't you ever play cards? Not even old maid? Go fish? Oh, do you mean poker? I saw a Windstar. It was like a cooler bag in the cafe. I did. I'm serious. And I looked at it and I said, who's that belong to? And not me. I said, get that thing off the counter, please, and hide it. So yesterday, or I don't know what it was, Friday, I don't know when it was. Maybe it was Friday. I was having lunch in the cafe, you know. And so one of the guys from KDKR came down, said, I'm looking for my cooler to keep for my. And I said, was it from the Windstar Casino? Yes. I said, praise the Lord, it's right there. Get this thing out of here, you know. No, anyway, come on, let's go. Where are we at? What verse am I on? Oh, 11. I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, in other words, they were accusing Paul of that, okay? Why do I still suffer persecution? He says, then the offense of the cross has ceased. Listen. The cross brings offense. Why? Because it removes every bit of self-effort. All you can do is look and live and believe. Amen? That's it. You can't earn it. There's no any hope of self-effort or good works or anything. See, the flesh loves legalism. Did you know that? Did I already tell you about the report cards in the first grade? Or was that the other service? See, I told you I was losing whatever it is today. And, you know, in the first grade, remember how they would give you stars? Well, I don't know if they do that in California, but here they did. And, you know, and so, of course, you have to understand, you know, when you're my age, they horse and buggy took us to school. But, you know, if you, you know, Billy sat up straight this week. Billy didn't talk in class. Billy wasn't rude. Billy didn't punch anybody. And you would get stars, right? And it'd make you feel good. Well, how many stars did you get? Well, I got four. I got five. You see legalism? I'm better than you. That's what legalism does. You mean you wear makeup? Thank God you do. Yes. Do you understand? I'm sorry. Listen, I love the holiness people. I really do. You know why? With all of their heart, they love the Lord. And if, you know, if a bun or no makeup and a long, whatever, I don't fault anybody. But don't tell me that God is going to love me more if I do those things. Do you understand? See, that's legalism. That you're trying to earn God's forgiveness and earn God's love and God's favor. Oh, Lord, I'm trying with all my heart. He goes, I already love you. I sent my son to die for you. That's how much I love you. Amen? We have to keep it all in perspective. So the cross, man, Paul says, hey, you're offended in that because it removes all of your self-efforts and all of your legalism. The Bible says in Galatians 2:21, it says, I do not set aside, Paul says, the grace of God. For if righteousness, meaning that right standing with God, acquittal from all sin, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Jesus Christ died in vain. It was no value. In other words, if a person can be saved by good works or saved by human merit, self-effort. If that's the case, there was no purpose in Jesus' death. But you see, had there been any other way for God to save us, He would have. But he sent his only begotten Son, amen, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, to return to the law completely makes void or nullifies the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's what Paul here was saying. Now, the second danger, let's look at it beginning in verse 12. He says, I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Man, that is a heavy verse in the Greek. And there's been 100 different translations, and there's much argument over this, because people would say, now, wait a minute, Paul, we don't fight against flesh and blood. You know that. We fight against the principalities and darkness, not people. Of course, Paul knew that. But what Paul was saying here, he says, I wish that they would even cut themselves off, literally means that they would make themselves eunuchs. It means that they would literally mutilate themselves, speaking of the circumcision. Why? Because Paul said, I don't want you making any more of your converts because you're putting my children in slavery. That's why Paul, by the power of God and the Spirit of God, wrote that. He says, for you, brethren, you've been called to freedom. You've been called to liberty. But here comes the warning now, the next danger. Only do not use your liberty, your freedom, as an opportunity for the flesh. The flesh, meaning that old sinful nature, the sensual appetites of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, and so forth. That slave that's still in you and me who wants to be given life again, to live up and live that selfish life, that ungodly life. He says, oh no, don't do that. Just because you're under grace doesn't mean you can live a life of sin. He says, but through love, serve one another. Isn't it amazing that we've been called by God through Christ Jesus for this purpose? He says, to make you free. We are the freest people on earth. But listen now, look at the purpose of our freedom. It says, others. Amen? Look at it again. But through love, serve one another. Now, the next verse that I'm going to read, I want to quote Martin Luther on it. He said, this verse is brief, but in act and in fact, it is broader, it is longer, it is deeper, it is higher than the whole world. Let's look at it together. Verse 14. For all, not some, all the law, the entire law, loved one, all the law is fulfilled, brought to perfection, if you will, in how many words? One word. Here it comes. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. It says, but through love, serve one another. This verse that Paul quoted here is part of the great commandment, isn't it? That's right. And that's one of the scriptures of the why we exist as a church, in our vision statement, okay? So Jesus said it this way. He said in Matthew 22, 37, you shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is just like it, or on equal footing with it. You shall love your neighbor, the one who is next to you, the one who is near you, wherever you are in this life. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets, meaning everything depends upon the great commandment. Jesus said in Mark 12:31 about the great commandment, listen carefully. He said, there is no other commandment greater than these, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen, the entire law of Moses, the whole law stands fully obeyed in that one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We witnessed that last week on TV. Any of you who kept up with the trial there in Dallas, when Botham's brother, his younger brother, there, you know, he was shot by Amber Geiger, the former police officer, and so forth. And who killed his brother. And remember what he said from, he didn't know he was being filmed, and he looked over to the judge, and he said to her, you know, may I go and hug her? Would you give me permission to do that? He said these words. He said, words of forgiveness for her, that's not enough. What a powerful thing. My words are not enough. My words are just saying this, just not enough. He said, I hugged her and said, I forgive you. I forgive you, meaning for killing my brother. He said, she deserves love. What a powerful word. She deserves love. He said, she made a mistake. She's going to regret, truly regret. But don't you want to forgive her? Just understand, he said to her, that God will forgive you. That is loving your neighbor as yourself. What does it mean to love your neighbor? It means you crawl out of your skin and you crawl into their skin and you empathize. You see the hurt that's going on. That happened in a courtroom. Praise God. Then the judge gave that woman, Amber, her own Bible. I don't like what happened, but I'm telling you that that young boy, that young man, I don't know how old he was. He couldn't look to me like he's 18 or something. How much? 18. See, I was right. That took a lot of grace. It took knowing God's word. Now listen to me. You know why he did that? Because the Holy Spirit of God had his way in him. Do you understand? And that's what it takes for us. You know, okay, I know that scripture. Well, okay, you might know it, but you have to live it. And the only way you can live it is by, Lord, it's not about me. I'm dead, but Jesus is in me. And now the Holy Spirit, have your way with me. I want to obey you. I want to do exactly what you want me to do. There is only one law that the Christian should ever desire to live under, and it is the law of love, to be a slave of love. Listen to me now. That is only realized again by those believers who say to the Holy Spirit, whatever you want, you have your rightful place. I just want to have your own way in me, Lord. The Bible says in Romans 13:8, it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. Here it comes again. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Isn't it great to know that that's the kind of church this is? That love never fails, that we do the upper room with Jesus, John 13, you know what I mean? That we love one another, the new commandment, we love one another as Christ loved us. Man, that's what it's all about. Now, we owe one another, whether you like it or not, a permanent debt of love, to love one another over and over. See, the law that we could never keep, we can now fulfill. Isn't that amazing? By just simply loving one another and loving our neighbor. That's what truly defines a believer. Well, no, you have to be baptized in water. Well, that's good. A believer should be. Or you have to be speaking in other tongues. That's a wonderful gift, but that's not what makes a person a believer. That's evidence, but it's not the evidence. You understand? It's not church membership. That's wonderful, but that's not the evidence that a person is a believer. The true test will always be, do you love one another? Do you love Jesus? That's it. Listen, 1 John 4:7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Born again and knows God. Not God is a, I have all the facts. No, you have a relationship in your heart with him. Now listen, but he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. No believer is perfect, but love should be an ongoing, habitual lifestyle of the believer. Amen? That's what defines a believer, you know, and so forth. And you say, well, Bill, now wait a minute, you know, I'm kind of a hard case, you know, but I'm a believer. And, you know, that's just not my, my nature. It's not? Well, no, it's, you know, that's not my emotional makeup. Well, that's not your nature. Well, your nature was your old man. Now, your nature now is the new man. Amen? Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Man, I would check out my heart. Because if you're a believer, Romans 5:5 says, hope does not disappoint, but the love of God has been shed abroad. That word means lavishly. Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. Again, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, divine love. The only comes from heaven. No, if that's not working in your life, loved one, I'm going to tell you, you better check yourself out. If I can't give that out. Well, listen, you can't give out what you don't have. And if you have God's love, you're going to give it out. You want to give it out. We don't have to be mean people. We should be the most loving people on this planet. Jeremiah said this, David Jeremiah, loving one another is not a discipline reserved for the advanced Christian or a gift belonging to naturally tolerant people. It's not an option or an extra or frilly wrapping to make religion more attractive. Dr. Jeremiah says, love is the heartbeat of our faith. And if we detect no pulse, there is no faith. Boy, that is a profound word. Amen? Yes. Continuing from Romans, let me read. It says, for the commandments, don't commit adultery, murder, stealing, you know all of them. You know, bear false witness. You shall not covet, he goes on. He says, Paul says, if there's any other commandment, they are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I don't like my neighbor. Well, why not? I mean, there's a lot of people I don't like on 820. You understand? I have to put up with them every day. But here's the truth. Guys, listen. Is there anyone in the world that God doesn't love? No. Is there anyone in the world that God doesn't want to save? No. Well, then I guess we better love our neighbor. Amen? Okay. That's what we have to do. See, the new birth, when the Holy Spirit has his way, when we're born again and then sanctification starts, that process, loved one, God doesn't. I mean, the new birth never produces loveless believers. It just doesn't happen. And you don't even know why you want to love when you first get born again. You didn't know that the love of God was shed abroad in your heart. You didn't know that, or I didn't. I just knew that I was different. I knew that something happened to me. I knew that I had joy, and I didn't know where that joy came from because I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about God's word. But I knew I had changed. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what sanctification meant or justification. I had no clue at all what that meant. But on the very first day that I was saved, I told you the story, and I'm going to go into it because we don't have time, but how I picked up that hitchhiker. He was a soldier, and I picked him up, remember? And the first day I was saved, I told you I had that case of beer in my car. You know how you have ice in a cooler? Well, it had been thawing, so you could hear the cans, you know? And I was just telling him, man, do you know Jesus? And he's hearing that beer rattle around, you know, and I still had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket. I mean, I only been born again an hour, okay? You know, I'm not Paul. And, you know, do you know the Lord, man? I'm telling you what happened. You want a cigarette too? You know, he says, would you let me out up here, please? Scared him to death. But I just wanted to tell him, I said, he's real. Jesus is real. I don't know. I just know something happened to me, and it never stopped. Never stop. You see, that's the way it is. He says, love doesn't do any harm. I'm reading from Romans again. Love doesn't do any harm to a neighbor. Therefore, again, here it comes. Three times. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And look what Paul says now in verse 15. He says, but if you devour one another, he says, oh man, you better beware lest you be consumed by one another. Those are three bad verbs: bite, devour, consume. And if you did a word study, it would tell you this, that this is a picture of wild animals engaged in a deadly struggle, attacking their prey, not P-R-A-Y, but the other one, their prey. Why? To eat them alive. This tells me that the churches at Galatia, loved one, were probably not living under the law of love. No. You know, it is a terrible thing when believers, when they don't love. You know why? Because if you're not going to walk in love, you're going to do the opposite. Did you know that? If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're going to walk in the flesh. And boy, the flesh is a bad thing to walk in because all the old Billy, the old man, starts coming out. Listen, if you don't love, you know, why are there so many mean Christians today? Unloving Christians, critical Christians, just beat the tar out of you. You know what I'm saying? And you know what they do? They keep unbelievers from ever wanting to go to church. You know, remember how I told you those people across the street when I was a little boy? And I was only 6 years old, handsome, parted my hair perfectly. They lived right across and they would go to church every day. They were some kind of revival meeting every day. And they made me so mad. They just, Billy, you're going to go to hell. I'm 6 years old, you know. So, you know, I just started chunking rocks at their car. I did. I'm telling you the truth. I tell you who's going to go to hell. You know, they were so legalistic. They just beat me all the time. I didn't think God loved me. I didn't think I could ever be saved. I believed that really, if there was a hell, that was going to be where I was going to end up because they told me so. Oh, critical Christians, they keep unbelievers from ever setting foot in the church. Listen to me. Rules and legalism and laws can never, ever make you love one another. But I'll tell you what, when the Holy Spirit of God has His way, you give Him His rightful place, you're going to love people. You're going to forgive people. Oh, praise God. Listen, that's what it's all about. You know, your neighbor, man, listen, Jesus died for your neighbor, the one that you don't like, or maybe I don't like either, okay? I don't like what they do. But the vicious blows that our Lord took, the beatings, it was for everybody. Amen? Not just us. Listen now, the adventure begins. The adventure begins when the Holy Spirit has His way. We're going to really talk about that in these two chapters, okay? Back in chapter 5 again, verse 25, you know, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you living in the Spirit, Christian? Are you really living in the Spirit? Let me ask you one more. What would happen? What would really happen if every believer who calls Calvary Chapel their home, if all of us gave the Spirit His rightful place in our walk? Come on. I mean, think about that. I mean, the early church did that, and they turned their world upside down. When the Holy Spirit, listen, is given His rightful place in the heart of the believer, you know what? This is the truth. I would never have to ask servants to serve. Did you know that? Am I right? Absolutely. You would never hear me. Why? The Holy Spirit leads you to serve. Amen? The Holy Spirit leads you to discover your gift so you can serve the body effectively. Oh, listen, there would be no room, if the Holy Spirit had His way in every person's life at this church, there would be no room in the chapel on Saturday mornings for our prayer time. There would be no room. Why? The Spirit has His way. You think the Spirit, oh, no, don't go pray. We don't want you to pray. That's Texas Holy Spirit, you know. No, there'd be no, listen, if the Holy Spirit has His way in our lives, there would be no cold love. Not any at all. Do you think maybe marriages would be reconciled that need to be reconciled? Absolutely. What would happen if all of Calvary Chapel lived and walked in the Spirit? All of us, every believer. Well, there'd be no more selfishness for one. We would all want to help one another. We would all be forgiving. And listen, not only that, if we lived and we walked in the Spirit, every believer at this church would be a cheerful giver. Every Christian would be a cheerful giver. Every Christian would be an ambassador of Christ. Do you follow me? See, if the Holy Spirit truly has His rightful place in your life, not only that, no believer would ever forsake the assembling of themselves together, as the habit of some is. But they would exhort one another as they see the day approaching. Are you following me? When the Holy Spirit has His rightful place in your life. That's no other way for a Christian to live, loved one. How many would be saved if we all walked and lived in the power of the Spirit? All we want to do is just please God. That's all that we want to do. I mean, loved one, what kind of worship would worship change? Would there be texting? No. When the Holy Spirit is given His proper place in the church, the church becomes like Jesus on earth. Think about these things, loved one. Do you know you can't follow someone that you do not know? You cannot be led. If you're sons of God, then you're led by the Spirit of God. You cannot be led by someone you do not know. He is in you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God, but He is present with us. Everything that we face in this life, every activity we go through, wherever restaurant you're going to go eat at or go home or whatever you're going to do, He's right there experiencing what you are experiencing, seeing what you're seeing, hearing what you're saying, thinking, knows what you're He's here. Thank God He's here. He is my and your divine help.
Pastor Bill's study in Galatians continues in our Monday program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. On behalf of Pastor Bill, thank you for listening to Love Never Fails this week. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.